Solomon's Porch. My name is Ian, and I'll be giving the devotional for this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for that your mercy is on you every morning. I thank you that you just gather here before, gather us before you, God, this morning. I pray that you will teach us your word. I pray you will speak through the devotional, Lord. I pray you speak through our personal quiet time before and after. And Lord, I also pray for refreshment over my brothers and sisters who are listening. I pray for the church. And I also just pray, Lord, for this time of quietness in the morning before the day begins, that our spirits are attentive to you, that our spirits are aligned with you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic for, the psalm that I've chosen for today is Psalm 42. I think whenever I am struggling in certain ways, I always find a lot of comfort in the psalms. And I think that a lot of the psalms were also written by David when he was struggling and going through difficult times. Just want to start with maybe a quote from Charles Spurgeon. This is a quote that he talks about the mind. And, I really relate to this. And I think a lot of you and a lot of people in the world can relate to this. So Charles Spurgeon once said, "The mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more. But a soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour." Now, I believe what Charles Spurgeon was really referring to was the state of our minds sometimes can really take us captive to the circumstances around us. While there is a physical agony that we can be put through, the mental agony that we can put ourselves through or that circumstances can put ourselves through can be far deeper and far more sinister. You know, the physical body can bleed and then we can heal it and we can see it being healed. And once it's physically healed, it's pretty much good to go. But the mind, our mental state is far harder to read and far harder to heal. And so Charles Spurgeon is saying the mind can descend far lower than the physical body and there are bottomless pits to our minds. And the flesh can only bear a certain number of wounds and no more. But a soul can bleed in 10,000 ways. And it's just really emphasizing how important it is to really bring our state of mind before God. And I believe that's what David did a lot of the times when he wrote the Psalms. He was really pouring out his heart and his mind to God. And in Psalm 42, as we'll read, it really encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, as we just take a look and look deeper into how David really crafted and how he really poured out his heart to God. So if you turn to Psalm 42, we'll read the passage once, the psalm once, and then maybe I'll kind of break it down and just share with you just kind of my thoughts on it. Psalm 42. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with you? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love, At night, his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, I'll read some statistics to you as well. This is statistics for Hong Kong. It says 61% of Hong Kong adults currently suffer from poor mental well-being. 61%. And with one in every seven people developing a common mental disorder in their lifetime. One in seven developing a common mental disorder in their lifetime. The number of psychiatric patients has doubled from 2004 to 2014. 74% of mental health sufferers do not seek any form of professional help. This is not a plug for seeking professional mental help, but it is really emphasized that our minds need health. Our minds need soothing, and we have to pay special attention to our mental well-being. And in fact, mental illness shouldn't be something which we shun, and shouldn't be something which we feel ashamed about. You know, there is no stigma to mental illness. There shouldn't be. And if you're suffering from mental illness and you recognize that, the best thing to do is to seek professional help. Personally, I can say that I have also sought professional help for my own struggles, right? And I think there is no shame in doing so. But I think here what David has done is also to pour out his heart before God, which is one of the most important things we can do as Christians as well. So if we look at verses 1 to 3 again, you know, David says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And you can really feel, you know, the hurt and the pain that David is expressing. He's comparing, you know, how the deer pants for water in a physical way, how we thirst in a physical way, with how his inner being is also thirsting and seeking God. You know, he says, when can I go and meet with God? It's almost the same as, just let me die. Sometimes when we're suffering, we tell ourselves, I'd rather die. And those suicidal thoughts come. You know, and I think it's encouraging to see even King David also suffered from these things over and over again. You know, don't feel as if you're the only one. We're not alone, right? And the Psalms remind us that we're not alone. There's physical, mental agony. Where does David go when he's suffering from this physical and mental agony? He goes straight to God in the Psalms. He writes his Psalms. He pours it towards God, right? And he seeks the spiritual comfort that the Holy Spirit can give us in this time. You know, he says, while the people say to me all day long, he says, where is your God? This can sometimes come from people telling David about and mocking David about where is your God. But nowadays, most of the time, this phrase, where is your God, can come most poisonously from our own minds, right? We ourselves, we doubt God. We say, where is God in this time? You know, I've said many times to myself, God, where are you? Why is it that my prayers don't get answered? Why is it that, you know, I ask for help and it doesn't seem to happen? It happens to everyone around me, but it doesn't happen to me. You know, why has my situation not changed all this time? I feel so abandoned. Where are you, God? You know, David's expressing the same frustration. And in verse 4, it says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And you can see David is shifting himself slowly to recall happier times, you know, recalling times when he was in the company of people, when he was able to sing praise and dance and hold celebrations in joyful, festive throng, right? He distinctly recalls that fellowship with other people, right? It says that, you know, he used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. You know, in other translations, it also emphasizes that sense of fellowship, that he wasn't alone, right? It just really points to us that, you know, how important it is to be in a community, right? A community with fellow brothers and sisters, with our friends. And that is just so important to how we pull ourselves together as well, how we can share each other's burdens. You know, in a community, when we see brothers and sisters who may be going through difficult times, we need to remember to come alongside them. And the same thing, the reverse is true. When we're going through tough times, even more so, do we need to try to not be a recluse and be alone, but we need to be in the church. We need to be in the community. As much as we want to pull away and be sorrowful, we must also force ourselves to be with other people and to talk with other people. Mental illness can be a very, very lonely thing because only the person suffering from it knows. And it's very hard to detect. In fact, some people can be with a lot of people in the community. It can be vibrant, can be laughing, can be normal. But on the inside, they are suffering as well from a huge, huge burden of depression. And depression is so hard to detect. And so we as brothers and sisters in the church, we must be alert. We must pray for our brothers and sisters, have fellowship, go to house church. You know, we must be bold in sharing and sharing deeply and authentically, because that's what we were made for. And in verse 5, it says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." You know, David is still suffering painfully, but he's not going down without a fight, right? He's pep-talking himself. He's coaching himself. You know, in the start of Psalm 42, he's pouring out his heart and his pain. But in verse 5, you see David is talking back to himself, right? He's talking back to himself. He's saying, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" You know, and then he's saying back to himself, he's speaking into himself. He's saying, "Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God," right? He's just not willing to go down and not and just resolve himself to this state. He is challenging himself. He's not saying there's nothing I can do and therefore I'm giving up. Therefore I'm giving up on life. He's constantly talking back as if to challenge his spirit, his soul, about his conviction and his faith in God. And sometimes it's good for us to follow that. It's good for us to try to look at ourselves and say, why are we like this? Where is our faith? Not let just a spiral of negative thoughts come our way. It's different from positive thinking. It's godly thinking. It's based on who God is. It's based on the character of God and the foundations that we learn from his word, from the sermons we've heard. It's from our past experience about how God has always come through for us. You know, David recalls the happier times because he knows that God is faithful and he will be faithful. We know from the Bible that God will renew and make all things new, and he will wipe away every tear. And it's this in-between time that we suffer, but we keep having to remind ourselves that at the end of the day, things will be fine. At the end of the day, we have a sovereign and a fair and a just God. Right? In verse 7, you know, David goes back to that state of depression again. You know, it's a yo-yo. It's a bouncing back and forth. As it's very human. It's so relatable to me, at least, how human this is, this psalm is. David goes back in verse 7. It says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. He's saying, God, it's external, but it's also your sovereign at the same time. You know, he's not really blaming God. He's not saying, it's your waterfalls. You are cursing me. He's not really saying that. You know, it's a struggle. He's recognizing this. He's recognizing the waves billowing over him. He's recognizing it. But at the same time, he's recognizing that God is sovereign. He's recognizing that as deep calls to deep, you know, as deep as he is in this state of utter despair, God is also just as deep. The depths of God are unsearchable, right? Because in verse 8, he says, by the day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is within me, a prayer to God, to the God of my life. Now, it's so easy to feel, and I feel like this, you know, every week when I go to work sometimes, I feel buried under all of the work. You know, I feel like I'm drowning sometimes. I can't even lift my head up to breathe because of the number of messages, emails, and calls, and things that people want from me. I feel like I'm drowning sometimes. You know, it's a pale comparison to perhaps what you or I, other people, or even David was going through. But I think on a day-to-day basis, the daily grind can also just feel a bit this way. And I just have to pour myself out to God, and I just have to start and end the day in this fashion, you know. And to me, you know, I can almost read this verse as saying, you know, I am in deep trouble, right? But you are there with me, God. You know, I feel deep in the depths of my pain and turmoil, but you are there with me in the depth. The waterfalls are yours. I'm plunged into the waterfalls, but you are with me, right? The waves and the billows are yours as well, God, because you are sovereign and you have measured everything, right? You know, in Revelations, it talks distinctly about all the details of the new heavens, right? When God gave directions for building his tabernacle, he gave such distinct and precise measurements. You know, God knows the number of hairs on your head. God is in such detail. He knows every single thing that happens. He doesn't just gloss over and, you know, broad brush kind of take a look at everybody's life. He knows every single intricate thing that happens to me, that happens to you. There is nothing that goes unnoticed. No suffering goes unnoticed to God, right? And we heard from R.T. Kendall, you know, what's the thing that gets God's attention? It's really our tears. But more importantly, it's our longing for God. It's our tears before God saying, can you see the detail pain that I'm going through? Do you understand? And God is saying, of course I understand. I see everything. I see all the details. I see the details you don't see. You know, and I think that's such a comfort for me, that God sees far more than I can see, and he sees far further than I can see. In verse 9, it says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, in verse 9 to 11, we see it's a very repetitive thing that David is going through. He's saying again, why have you forgotten me? He's saying again, where is your God? You know, if you read all through the Psalm 42, you see it's kind of, he's depressed. He's encouraging himself. He's reminding himself of greater times. Then he's going back to say, you know, but God, I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling again. You know, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling built up because I know you're there in the depths. But God, you know, here I am again. Here I am pouring out my heart again. And I feel this is just so human. Sometimes when I read the Psalms or I read Proverbs, I feel it takes a superhuman or to be this way. And David's so real with us. He's so relatable. At least for me, I know that, you know, there are days, there are moments when I feel on top of the world, when I feel encouraged, when I feel that, you know, despite all the things that are happening, I feel strong again. I feel, you know, strong in faith. And then perhaps in 2 hours' time, I can feel right where I started, rock bottom. And it's this repetition. You know, it drives me crazy because it makes me think, am I crazy? Is there something wrong with me about the way I'm going through life? I'm like a yo-yo. I'm bouncing up and down. You know, someone once said to me, you know, Ian, why are you so volatile? You know, I'm like, yeah, I know. Why am I so volatile? You know, that's just me, maybe. But, you know, when I read Psalm 42, I get so much comfort because there is that volatility in life. You know, we always think that, you know, a normal life, a good person or a normal person should be fairly stable, you know, fairly stable, you know, balanced. And I think we should aim for that. But the truth is, at least for me, I'm not really that stable most of the time. But it's okay. You know, I bring it to God. And I see and I read Psalm 42. I see the repetitive nature of David's feelings. And I say, it's exactly how I feel sometimes. It's okay not to be okay. Right? It's okay to feel that we're back in the pit again every now and then. Right? The most important thing is we bring it to God, right? We just bring all this because it's the spiritual sustenance that will bring us through. You know, it's at the end of the day, God's Spirit will lift our spirits. At the end of the day, when we have that spiritual connection with God, He will bring us through and He will soothe our pains and our ills. And in our prayers, He will answer them. There's two comments or commentaries that I felt was quite interesting on Psalm 42. This is written by Kidner. It says it is an important dialogue between two aspects of the believer, who is at once a man of convictions and a creature of change. Another one says, the higher self repeats its half rebuke and half encouragement. You know, I think in Psalm 42, it also reminds me how important it is to constantly strive. You know, there is that sense of eagerness, there's that sense of desperation for God. You know, in my pain, you know, I literally get brought down to my knees in prayer. In my pain, I become forceful in my prayer. If it's out of anger and frustration, I bring it before God. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, pretend that I'm a lamb or anything. I'm just saying, this is how I feel, God. You know, and it's okay. It's okay to seek God desperately. You know, Jacob fought with God, right? He struggled. And it's the same thing for us, for me. You know, when I'm going through a tough situation, it's okay to struggle a bit with God. And Psalm 42 is showing us how David is struggling, right? And it really reminds me of this verse in Matthew 11, verse 12, which is a bit of a confusing verse. It says, the kingdom of God has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. You know, there are other translations as well. The kingdom of God has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. You know, I think this is talking about not physical violence. It's talking about the desperation. It's talking about the people who are struggling. They struggle before God. You know, they seek God desperately. And it's this figurative way of speaking, you know, I think Jesus is really saying that, you know, since John the Baptist and when he came, there were multitudes of people who were just trying to find an audience before Jesus, right? In the same way in Psalms, God, David is trying to find an audience before God. We are trying to find an audience before God when we are suffering, right? All the people, the lame and the sick, the blind, who heard about Jesus, they went to Jesus. Some, you know, in one of the passages in the gospel, we see friends who kind of climbed the roof of their friend and kind of bust through the roof just to get a glimpse of Jesus, you know. And it's the same for us as believers. You know, it's that violence that's being talked about is that sense of desperation. The multitudes of people are as if they're trying to find Jesus by force, by that figurative violence. And it's saying to us as believers, you know, whether we're going through a tough time or not, you know, in fact, our constant state of being should be something like what is mentioned in Matthew 11, 12, you know, and Psalm 42, that we constantly are going before God, that we struggle, we go through life and we always struggle. Don't struggle alone. Struggle with fellow believers and brothers and sisters. Struggle with God and bring it all to God. Right? There is just no place for us to be neutral about things anymore. You know, life is not neutral. And therefore, I just find encouragement and I find direction in just reading Psalm 42 and taking references from the other parts of the Bible. And my prayer is also that you will be encouraged this morning and that God will speak through this message. So as I invite Pastor Ernie to come and lead us in worship, I'll also close us in prayer. Father God, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will really come speak life into our minds, speak encouragement. Surround us, Lord, with your love, and surround us, Lord, with your faithfulness. Though we are sometimes unfaithful, you remain faithful, Lord, because you cannot deny yourself. Forgive us, Lord, our transgressions. Renew our minds and cleanse us with hyssop. Lord, bless us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Heal us from our depression, from our mental struggles, Lord. Heal us, God, from the things that we have no control over. Be our solace, Lord. Be our rock. Be our anchor. Let us hope in you and you alone. Lord, we love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, come.
thirsty. Oh, who are thirsty? Heart in the streams of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. The waves of His mercy as deep cries out to
come, oh, Pastor Ernie, as we in this time, we just want to bring our minds to the community around us. Let's pray for community around us suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray and turn our minds to remember those people suffering from that non-cancer illnesses, but also pray for their salvation. Let's also lift up those around us suffering from physical infirmities, going through different types of ailments. And Lord, we just pray that you will heal them, Lord. Let's also continue to pray for provision as we lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. So let's turn our attention to mission focus. We'll pray for SP New York, for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly, for open doors in North Korea, and for opportunities to serve and partner in the East, in Asia. We also remember our brothers and sisters in the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's also pray for the online weekend gatherings happening. So we pray for tomorrow's service. We just pray for anointing and a blessed time for all tuning in and watching live. We pray for the well and healing. We pray for the SB Kids worship, that our children will be filled with the Spirit as they worship online at home. And we pray for the hospitality crew. We pray for SPU, spin and spill services and activities, and all the meetings. Let's also pray for Alpha that's starting soon. It starts in March, on March 6th. We just continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide the conducting of Alpha and the logistics and how and the layout. As guests start to sign up, I'll pray for protection over the volunteers. And we also just pray for pouring in of the hungry, of those seeking God to come and just be part of this course. Let's also pray for the house churches in Hollywood, Mawa, and Southside. Just pray for blessed time and recollection and talking about past sermon. Continue to pray also for Hong Kong, our home, this city. We pray that God will really do a miracle in this land. We pray that people and we will turn to God in this time. We continue to press in and continue to just pray and have faith that God is with us, Lord. So Lord, we just lift up the rest of this time, this prayer time to you. And we just ask that you continue to lead us throughout this weekend in worship and enjoyment of your company. Thank you and have a good time, good rest of your prayer time.